You can't touch this.
Welcome to the Fellowship Course.
You can't touch this.
6 months of fellowship teaching.
You can't touch this.
Here we go.
You can't touch this.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to the Written Fellowship Course podcast. My name's Peter Cass and I'm going to be your guide for the next little while through this. I thought we'd start off with an introduction, a very simple, straightforward introduction to the Written Fellowship exam. Now, if you follow this podcast, we're going to go for about 6 months worth of teaching. You can then get some virtual teaching over the internet on resus.com.au. And then if you want to join us, you can join us for a face-to-face two-day weekend, either in Sydney or Melbourne or Queensland. Okay, the exam, let's get right into it. How are you going to prepare for this exam? Well, we know that there are three types of questions, the MCQ, the SAQ, and the VAQ. The times have changed recently. Now, in the MCQ, you need about 55% to pass. There are 60 type A questions, A to E, one correct answer. Now, be careful because there's maybe two answers that are very similar or correct, but you may have to find the most appropriate answer for that particular question. The SAQs, you've got eight questions, about 15 minutes apiece. Assessment or management is what you're going to be asked for here. And you've got to pass more than five questions and you've got to have a total of more than 40 points. And the SAQ tricks a lot of people. If you've got the knowledge, the SAQ becomes a pure technique-driven question. And I'm going to take you through the techniques. In the VAQ, you've got eight questions in about 80 minutes, about 10 minutes a question. And this is really about data interpretation and about management or treatment and decision-making. The VAQ is probably the hardest exam to do because time flies. Okay, how long will it take you to get ready? I say 6 months to a year. I think it can be done in 3 months if you concentrate on technique. But certainly 6 months is more than enough time for you to get this exam if you really hone in. Now, the exams are usually in February or August, and so you've really got to allocate your time appropriately and be very vigilant that you're studying particular things every day. Now, whether you pass or fail this exam, life goes on. For those of you that have a mortgage, you still have to pay that mortgage. For you, for those of you that have children, you still have to be a mother or father. For those of you that have a spouse or a partner, you still have to interact with them. Now, if you fail the exam, no one thinks badly of you. No one thinks less of you. You're not any less of a doctor. And that's really a silly thing that we have in our minds. We think everybody's saying bad things. Well, it's not true, okay? We think we're too important if we think that. People just get on with it, and we need to get on with it too. If you've tried this exam and you've failed it, get back on the horse now, and let's get this sucker out of the way. What are the goals in the course that I give in the six-month fellowship written course? This is, I give you an idea of how the exam is set. I want to get you into the head of the examiners and think about how they think, give you some insight into how questions are formed and what types of questions may be asked. You've got a syllabus of upteen hundreds or whatever there are potential curriculum topics, but they can't all be asked as an SAQ. You've got to be very, very careful about that. And we need you to understand the difference between passing the exam and having complete knowledge. They're not the same. Now, the exam, I think, is a very good discriminator here. It's the only one we have. We can do better, but I think it's a great discriminator of knowledge. The problem is it's not a great discriminator of technique. And so what happens is that you can have incredible knowledge and screw up this exam because your technique is bad. All right. If you're going to study, you need to study the right stuff. I can tell you now, if you can't interpret every ECG that comes your way, if you're not looking forward to doing a blood gas, and if you're not looking forward to seeing an X-ray, which are your bread and butter VAQ, then don't go to this exam. You're going to fail it. In the SAQ, you really need to learn the big stuff and you need to learn technique. In the MCQ, you really need to just study a particular way, study with a hard facts idea in mind. Now, how do I study for the next few weeks, you say? Well, my view is for the next 6 months, you should be doing 2 to 3 ECGs every week. Why wouldn't you be doing at least one blood gas a week? Why wouldn't you be doing two blood gases a week and looking at an X-ray? You know, if you set aside 40 minutes a day, 30 minutes a day, 30 minutes a day will allow you to do one ECG and a blood gas and potentially one X-ray. That's all you need to do. And then you're at the point where by the time the exams come around, you've done every pretty much possible ECG there is to do, and you've done all the blood gases and all the variants of them. Why don't you, for the SAQ, set yourself aside a day every week where what you do is you set aside 2 hours or 1 hour even. You pick 4 to 8 topics and you spend 15 minutes writing everything you know on that topic. Once that's finished, what you then want to do is look up the answers. What you know, you know. What you don't know, you need to learn. On the other stuff that you're going to study, well, you can review your stuff at your own pace. The key to studying for this exam is certainly you've got to have a great knowledge base. And to be a good doctor in emergency medicine, you've got to know all of this stuff. You've got to have an understanding of it. Before the exam, there are some specific things you need to be better at than others, I believe. And so you've got to pick the topics that give you the greatest yield. Now, if you look at the syllabus book, they tell us that 33% is going to be medicine, okay? 33% is surgery and obstetrics and gynecology. So you should know obstetrics and gyne. 33% is going to be the rest. But they tell you that 25% of all the questions in the MCQ are going to be paediatrics. So why wouldn't you be an expert at paediatrics? And paediatrics has got a lot of little topics, but it's not a major area. You can get through it. You can read and review all your paediatrics in an afternoon. One of the podcasts I'll do is a paediatric review soon. Now, when I look at this, I say, all right, I've got to know my O&G. I've got to know 25% of peds. Now, you've covered about 30% of the paper there. And then you've got to know all your other stuff. Well, what can I do? They give you potential breakdowns in this exam of how many questions they might ask in the exam itself. And as far as I'm concerned in the MCQ, I mean, there are some big areas, the GIT, the neuro, the cardiovascular, the abdominal surgery, the trauma, the orthopedics, resus, anesthetics, tox, infectious diseases. If you look at these, they are the major areas of the exam. We can look at this again when we go to the SAQ. In the SAQ, they tell us, they say, you need to know your core topics. There'll be one question from each of the core topics. And there are 6 core topic areas. They are administration, medicine, surgery, trauma, peds, resus anesthetics. So, okay, medicine and trauma, medicine and surgery, sorry, are big topics. But you can actually make them a little bit smaller because there's only some things that they're going to ask you out of those. But if you look at the others, administration, trauma, pediatrics, resuscitation and anesthetics, they tell you. And then they also say, in addition, 2 further questions will be sourced from a group of topics. And they give you the group of topics. They actually tell you what they are. And the group of topics that they put in front of you are emergency medicine systems, ENT and eyes, obstetrics and gynecology, psychiatry, toxicology, and minor trauma, including orthopedics. Now, here we go. Why wouldn't you know all of eyes and ENT? Now, there's not much in ENT. What is there? You know, epistaxis, foreign body in the nose. What else is there? I mean, think about this. Trauma to the nose. What else is there? Epiglottitis. What else is there? Okay, think about it. It's not a big topic. The eyes. They love eyes in this exam, and wouldn't it be great to get a photo with a high femur or a red eye with a blurred, hazy cornea, which might be a glaucoma? I mean, ENT and eyes, you just need to know. And then you're told that you're going to have topics in either environmental, Obstetrics and gynecology again. Psychiatry, toxicology, and minor trauma, including orthopedics. So, if we look at these topics and we look at them in a clever way rather than just kind of putting our heads down and starting a study, we're told certainly medicine and surgery, big areas. But you know you're going to get a topic in administration. You know you're going to get a topic in trauma. Trauma is not a massive area. It's an area that you can study very quickly, become very expert at it, and be able to answer all the questions. Pediatrics, you just got to do it. Resuscitation, anaesthetics. Why don't you then also know obstetrics and gynae, because it comes up all the time. ENT and eyes. Get some environmental under your belt. You're going to have to know some psychiatry. But the psychiatry may not very well be a massive SAQ topic. These will tend to be sad and mad, you know, type of lists and, you know, depressive lists and increased suicide, all the rest of it that might be asked as MCQs. And orthopedics, well, you need to know every orthopedic thing you can for the VAQ if you get an X-ray. And what are the things that are really going to question you? Well, they're going to be the joints. You better know the wrist and the elbow and the shoulder joint. You better know the foot and the ankle joint and the knee joint and the hip joint. The big bones, you'll pick a fracture and you'll know what to do. But the joints are the ones that can trick us, especially a calcaneal fracture, loose Frank type injuries injuries of the wrist are very important, and they can show you, you know, perilunate dislocations, all the rest of it. You need to know that. So we're starting to refine a list. And my major list includes the big topics, the medicine and the surgery. And in the medicine, what are they going to ask you? It's really cardiovascular, isn't it? It's really about acute MIs. What else could it be? Affective endocarditis, pericarditis, myocarditis. What else could it be? In surgery, I mean, it's going to be abdominal stuff. It's going to be the big stuff. And then they can ask you trauma. They'll ask you pediatrics, resuscitation, anaesthetics. Get ENT under your belt. Get peds under your belt. Get ONG under your belt. Know the ortho because you're going to need to. Get some environmental happening in there. You've got it. There's not a huge amount of topics. You go, oh, that's a lot of topics. Well, it's not. It's not every medicine and surgery topic under the sun. In the VAQ, they tell you you're going to get an ECG, an X-ray. You're going to get a PEDS question. Here we go. PEDS are coming up again. Trauma. Now, the PEDS can be an X-ray question. The PEDS can be a photo. Get your pathology stuff done, but you don't know how to do a blood gas, or you're not looking forward to it, then don't rock up to the exam. So when you start to look at this whole exam, there are major topics and minor topics. To me, the major topics are the cardiac, pediatrics, trauma, resuscitation, anaesthetics, abdo stuff in surgery and administration. The minor topics are your ENT and eyes, your ECGs, your ABGs, your orthotype X-rays, your ONG and your environmental. Now, we'll get you through all of this stuff in terms of the exam, but I wanted you to start thinking cleverly about how you might prepare. So, in summary, for this first quick talk, what I think you should be doing is every week you should try and do a couple of ECGs. Assign yourself 2 days a week, 2 mornings before you go into work, and do an ECG and do a blood gas or a labs result type question. And then on one day a week when you get some time to study, or one evening or whatever, set aside 1 hour and give yourself 4 topics that you're going to write on for 15 minutes and make it point form writing and write everything you know on the topic. So the first 4 topics, here we go, you can start with is pulmonary embolism, ectopic pregnancy, the limping child, assessment of the cervical spine. Just pick four topics like that. Systems for Bikers Pie may not be a great one, but if you pick four topics like that, you sit down and you write for 15 minutes. And in fact, write a flow diagram on managing potential cervical injury, you know, or something like that. But big topics, write everything you know. So pulmonary embolism is massive. You've got 15 minutes, you better be doing point four. The reason that's important is because it trains you to work in the 15-minute slot. And in this exam, you need to try and answer every question. You need to stop at the 15 minutes and move on. Certainly in the SAQ, this is so important. Every now and then you might borrow a little bit of time from another question. In the VAQ, it's unforgiving. You can't do that. The time passes. So you've got to train yourself to answer these questions in the time. What this approach of doing four questions in an hour, then going back and reviewing them, gives you is it shows you what you don't know. And what you don't know is the stuff you better learn for this exam. All right, so Peter Cash signing off for this time. This is a quick introduction. I want you to really start thinking about how to study cleverly for the exam and start studying the major topics. I'll see you all next time for another podcast. Get onto the website and try some of the stuff on the website. And I might see some of you for the 6-month written fellowship course. This is Peter Cass signing off. Cheers for now.